When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Now, Brett is addicted to Twitter. He's a straight up.
He's a Tweety bird.
He's a straight up Twitter head now. In 2021 is when he decided to get addicted to Twitter.
It's like, oh yeah, like during the pandemic, I got really into like knitting and crossword puzzles. And Brett's like, I discovered Twitter.
Yeah.
Someone said, what Dungeons and Dragons class would you give Hugh Grant? And he wrote, fuck, such an important question. And then he continued.
And the other thing he told me, I'm probably not supposed to say this on the air, Brett, the Hugh Grant thing is not real. He's trolling people. It's a setup.
Yeah.
He's trying to loop in so these Hugh Grant fans, and then he's going to start torching them.
That's what I figured.
At some point, they're just going to be in the crosshairs as he...
Torching them... Like Jigsaw?
Like Jigsaw.
He's like, play a game with me.
Yeah.
If you don't retweet my tweet, I'm going to make you eat your own face.
I never saw that Saw movie.
You never saw that Saw?
I never will. I never see Saw. Did you see Saw?
I didn't see Saw.
I didn't see Saw. Would you see Saw on a seesaw, Julie? How much to get you on a seesaw, and who would be on the other side of the seesaw watching Saw?
So in this circumstance, Is the screen in the center of the seesaw where like it balances?
There's two screens in sync that both people are watching behind the other person.
Right, but they're in the center of the, I call it a teeter totter.
Okay. I'm going to say it's, the screens are mounted behind either side of the.
Of the middle part.
No, of the back.
What do you mean the back?
Like they're not on the seesaw. They're behind it. They're like screens.
Oh, here's okay.
Screen number one.
Okay.
Here's screen number two.
Okay.
That way the people are looking at each other and you look past the person to see the movie. You look past the person to seesaw. You look past the person on a seesaw to seesaw.
So what's the question? Would I do it? Sure. Why not?
Who would you want on the other side of this of your teeter totter?
James L. Brooks.
Okay. I don't know. James L. Brooks is on the seesaw.
Uh-huh.
And you both are seeing Saw.
And not James L. Brooks. I'm gonna retract that.
Okay.
Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil is on the seesaw. You're just like, do you feel like he'd be somebody who pushes off too hard on a seesaw?
Either that or the opposite, where he just sort of melts into the floor like a like a candle and just like plops down. And then you're like, excuse me.
You're like, push.
Yeah. Like, yeah. This is we're supposed to get some momentum.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to get my seesaw going here. Like,
what's Jigsaw up to now? A reverse bear trap? That's fucked up.
I heard a thing about Dr. Phil that his parking spot on the Paramount lot where he would do Dr. Phil show, like right in front of the studio. I had heard that he installed something underneath the spot that could weigh the spot, that he could tell if somebody was parked in his spot because it weighed a different amount than his car.
I would believe that, except for he seems like someone with such massive weight fluctuations. And I say that as someone with massive weight fluctuations, that I don't know if he'd be able to, unless it's like on a timer.
But I think it's when, like, he's not in the car. When
I see.
He just looks and he's just suddenly like, there's a car that's 2,200 pounds or however much a car weighs.
How much does a car weigh? So Tom says 2,200 pounds. Brett?
I mean, it depends on the car. I mean, it depends on the...
A standard
sedan,
car.
A Toyota standard. Corolla.
Yeah, but is that what Phil's driving?
Forget it. Never it's mind. Not a fun Forget game anyway. As I asked it, I was like, what's going to be a fun answer? And I was like, nothing. So, my bad. Sorry, Tom.
Brett, look
Dr.
up how
Phil
much a car
has a fucked up...
So then he looks on, like, he just looks and he sees, like, there's a car that's 2,600 pounds in my spot. That's not my car. And then he throws a temper tantrum.
Oh, it's not someone is in his car. It's another car parked on his spot when he's not there.
He doesn't want anyone else in his spot.
Oh. Yeah, I believe that.
So you got to do the Raiders of the Lost Ark thing then if you want to take his spot where you get like the exact same weight and then you
Right.
Yeah, got to drive a park in his spot with an anchor in your trunk because you know that'll balance it out.
Oh, Brett's screen sharing with the weight of cars. You were close. It looks like
fluctuates wildly based on the car.
Well, so does my weight. What does it say?
Yeah, of course it fluctuates wildly.
Depending on the car.
Some cars are huge and cars are tiny.
Hey, guys.
Brett's like,
the weight
of
cars is wildly fluctuating.
Brett, newsflash from Brett that a Mini Cooper and some Cadillac, there's a huge weight differential.
What if we have something online where you have to tweet a photo of your car to Brett and he has to guess how much it weighs?
Yeah.
And I don't know what the third part of this is, like what the point of it is yet.
Mm-hmm.
Or how to prove it. But it's, you know what it is? It's just a way to pass the time.
Yeah. Should we just start the show?
Or did we start it already? I don't know.
Well, we'll draw a line here and say the show has begun. Welcome to Double Threat. My name's Tom.
I'm Julie.
And we have a great show for you this week.
It's our 1 year anniversary.
How about that? 1 year.
Woo!
Of Double Threat. The show that made Forever Dog, put Forever Dog on the map. I don't want to say put Forever Dog on the map, but let's be honest with some of these shows I got on this network.
This was a big get for us. This was big for us.
Okay.
And then
it was a big get, but then once you got it, it was like a big keep.
Yeah. And I mean, look, it's a lot of great shows on the network, obviously. But in terms of just straight up two comedy minds, and by that I mean you and Brett, Julie.
Please. How dare you?
No, I mean me and you. Two comedy minds joining forces. And we got the ragtag Forever Dog, a scrappy place. It's like the Bad News Bears.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the Bad News Bears. Yeah, sure. On paper, it's a disaster. You look at this, you should run from it. You look at that. You look at other networks. They got
uniforms.
They got uniforms. They got, our big show is, we got, what's his face? Conan O'Brien.
Conan and he talks to his leather jackets.
Conan talks over famous people. And so you got that show, or they got like The Office where they talk all about, like, I was on The Office and I remember when we filmed that day and we had salmon.
Tuna fish sandwiches.
Yeah. And that was a funny day because Brian Baumgartner, He threw up everywhere. He couldn't stop projectile vomiting that day on set. And then you look at Forever Dog, and it's scrappier. Sure, they don't.
Oh, by the way, some of the other podcast networks are just like serial killers, serial killers, serial killers. Yeah. They have like, they're like, it's the Ed Gein cast.
Yeah. We'll go victim by victim through all of these. The
body part by body part. So it's like they ran out of killers. They ran out of crimes.
Each episode is a dead person.
It's like, we're going to start with earlobes this week. This is the earlobe edition of Chop Chop. Oh, that's a good idea, Tom. Mm-hmm.
What's that? To have a podcast Double where threat. We do that?
Yeah. No, I don't want to do it. I'm just saying we should put our names on, like Double Threat Presents Chop Chop, and it's like some, you know, serial killer thing.
Double Threat Presents, I like, so far we've launched High Heels, which is a wrestling weed show. Cuck Cuck Cluck, I think was one that was, what was that going to be? Hulk Hogan?
Hulk Hogan and Bubba the Love Sponge cucking each other and going to chicken places.
While going to chicken places. And now we have Chop Chop, which is our most specific
serial killer podcast ever.
Yeah.
Where they go body part by body part.
Mm-hmm. And look, I don't want to be within 100 miles of the actual production of that thing.
No. But
who should they bring on to do it?
Actual serial killers. They should have that. That would be the Forever Dog bonus. Is we're the only true crime podcast hosted by true criminals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get some actual killers on that thing. And we got a special guest this week. This guy killed 5 people.
I mean, Berkey's still alive, right? SOS, Son of Sam.
Yeah, BTK still bumming around.
BTK, yeah. Berkey. Does Bernie Getz count as a serial? I'm going to count him as a serial killer.
Yeah. Imagine the letter Brett's going to write to David Berkowitz.
Hey, man.
Like, you just picture him like deleting, like crumpling it up into the garbage can of just, but no, oh, yeah. No. Like, yeah. Like, dear sir, no, too formal. Hey, dude. No, that's too comfortable. Too, seems like I'm supporting him.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Now we're talking.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, David Berkowitz, I know you listened to your dog, but now people are going to listen to you on Forever Dog.
Forever David Berkowitz's dog.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Imagine like you'll go to listen to Double Threat. He's just like the promo at the beginning.
Intro.
Hey, everybody. This is David Berkowitz. I got a new show on the Forever Dog Network. And, you know, I listened to my dog back in the day. And now you're going to listen to the
Me
dog.
On Forever Dog.
You're going to listen to my dog now. Forever Dog.
And
I'm co-owner.
If you don't, I'll kill you. Just kidding.
Yeah. We need to talk about the David Berkowitz podcast.
Like an article on Vulture.
We need to talk about Kevin.
Good movie. Underrated movie.
Great movie. Tilda Swinton at her... I love that movie. Tom, do you like that movie? I'm a Jiminy Glick. Tom, do you like what we do? Do you like, we need to talk about Kevin?
Because it's Kevin and he's going and he's a murderer and he's a bad seed.
He's a
and
bad
he
can't boy.
Do you like the movie? Do you
Tom,
like?
Tom Sharpling.
The funniest thing Jiminy Glick does is when he rolls up that like his notes and he hits the person so with increasing force, and he does like the my favorite all-time favorite Jiminy Glick moment is when he had Brad Garrett on, and
you put that on your Instagram.
I put it on my Instagram, and Brad Garrett, he's like, "You starred in a thing," and he's like, "Well, it seems like you." It seems like you got your information from the internet. And then he like he stops midstream. He goes, oh, because there's so many books about you. And it might be the funniest burn. Oh, because there's so many books about you.
like knows everything about Back to the Future right away. Not me.
I saw. I've seen part one 8 million times, part two 7 million times, part three once.
Right.
We're going to the Wild West. Let me know how that works for you. Best of luck to you, Marty McFly. I will not be watching this installment with the same enthusiasm.
The climax features a locomotive.
Yeah. We got to get this train to go 88 miles an hour.
Choo-choo. Like, that was one of the top best movies on choochoomovies.com.
It really is a big choochoomovies.com. They love Runaway Train. Mm-hmm. They love Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
They love Back to the Future 3.
And then they love that one where the train is coming towards the audience and they all like flipped out.
That one. I was at one of the first screenings of that. And
how did you react?
I trampled a family.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I was the one who stuck around. And you were like, it's fake.
No, I ran. I climbed. I was like, that train's going to hit us. Everybody out of the theater. Everybody out of the. But the worst part is that was the second time I saw the movie. And I was like, oh, wait, I did see this. It's a motion picture.
You trampled a family.
Yeah. I climbed over the seats and just stepped on.
I don't
them.
Even picture seats. I picture like benches, like when they in silent films where it was like, just take a seat on one of these benches.
Well, this was seats. This theater was seats. And because I know because I remember how hard they were mounted to the floor, because I know there was no give when I stepped on that child to get out of the way. I was like, man, that seat did not, there was no resistance. That kid's getting the full force of me climbing over him to get out of here. Sorry, kid.
Like, you understand. It's a train.
Yeah. I was like, 23 skidoo. I yelled 23 skidoo and then ran out of the theater, even though that's not even remotely from the same era.
I think Choo Choo movies probably got the most hits around the time when all those ladies were being strapped to train tracks. I feel like that to them was the golden age.
Yeah.
You're in the lobby buying popcorn and you hear that. You're like, I'm missing the best part.
Can you get me my popcorn, please? I'm missing the best part of this 37-minute motion picture. I'd like my 2 cents back, please. I'd like a refund. Both pennies. That's right. Not one of the, like, not half. I don't want a 50% refund. I want both pennies back.
They'd be like, well, you can just stick around and watch the next one. I'd be like, okay.
Okay, I will. And then Then when the train starts coming through again, I'm like, oh, this is where I came in. And I just get up and leave. And I leave standing in front of everybody during the most exciting part of the movie. Excuse me. Pardon me. Pardon me. Excuse me. And I'm like, it's just a movie. It's not a real train. Back in the old days, that was the entertainment we had, Julie. We would see the movie where the moon got a rocket in its eye, or the train came at us. Or the planes that didn't work yet before flight was figured and they would fall apart. We'd watch those movies. Guy getting shot with a cannonball in the stomach and his belly full of jelly goes. You remember that movie?
No.
You've never seen the old fashioned film of the guy getting hit with the cannonball?
No. Can I see that now, Brett? We should do an episode where it's just us watching old timey stuff.
We should do old timey double threat. Yeah, we should. It's a reaction to our episode for the children. What if we do? We should do an episode for the old folks.
Well,
yesteryear.
I did see that clip that my favorite person, Robert Whitey, posted like a still of from this Charles Chapman movie. I just call him that now.
Charles Chapman, the great
Charlie Chapman,
the master,
where he's like hooked up to a feeding machine. And I watched like 10 seconds of it. And I was like, this is fucked up. This is like something Armie Hammer would have in his basement. And there's a part where like there's like a corn cob that like tilts itself automatically. And he's just like, oh, I can't handle all this corn. It's a night. What is this?
Thank you, Brett.
Are you kidding me? Oh my God. Yeah.
It's an old fella getting hit in the gut by a cannonball.
What?
Frank Cannonball Richards.
I like that he's not. Oh my God. I like that he's wearing his work pants. It has like he's has his belt on and he's got his like shiny shoe. Like he's not in like. I guess there's no clothes you can wear to prepare yourself for this.
It also is amazing that that's what passed for like physically fit back in the.
Yeah, because he looks like if you saw him without his shirt just walking down the street, you wouldn't be like, who is that specimen?
Yeah. You know, just be like, no, this guy's like strong. He's clearly strong, but he's not. There's literally zero definition to his body. It's just a strong guy with no definition at all. He's got a little cummerbund on or whatever.
A girdle. He's wearing a girdle.
Yeah, to try to rein in the
and he's trying to
rein in that gut.
Listen, I could suck it and I'd look amazing.
Yeah, and even think about like the TV version of Superman. Did you ever see what he looked like?
Yeah. He just looked like
George Reeves. Is that who
he
just it was?
He looked like a man.
Yeah, he just looked like a guy. It's like
dad. Like your dad is Superman.
Now, meanwhile, you fast forward. It's like you got Bob Odenkirk. It's like got an 8-pack.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Ready to murder people in that movie.
I'm ready.
I can't wait to see the nobody, what he does.
Me neither.
Yeah. Well.
So it's been a year. The first anniversary present is paper. So I got you a subscription to what's that website? The Daily Stormer. I got you a
thank you. Okay, great. A subscription.
Yep. Cause they do have a print edition.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, that's fine. That's cool. Cause then the mailman can just think I'm garbage when he brings that stuff to my door.
Brett, I got you an origami what did I get, Brett? Something made out of origami.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
In the shape of, what should it be in the shape of, Tom?
Hugh Grant.
Jerry.
Thank you. I was going to say it, but I didn't want to say it. Thank you.
Jerry. Did Jerry write back?
He did. Yeah.
Tom.
What did he say from a couple weeks ago?
It's pretty funny. Jerry's a funny guy. Let me see what he said.
Here. Yeah, why don't you give him a podcast?
He's so funny. I will.
Yeah.
The Tea Podcast.
Yeah. Tea time.
Brett, remind our listeners what we made you write to Jerry a few weeks ago, please.
Yes. So the subject heading is three questions, and then it says, Dear Jerry, number one, why don't you make shoes? Your friend, Brett.
That is, I have to say, that is a masterpiece of comedy. A literal masterpiece. An email called subject line is three questions and it has one question and it's numbered. We outdid ourselves.
I know.
On that one.
So how long did it take for him to respond? Is it?
Let's see, 4 hours.
This was the same day. Same day. That's huge. Because last time it was like, I think he made you wait like 5 days or something.
And you know what? I think he saved this one. You know, sometimes you save things for like, you know, when I clock out of work, this is going to be the first thing I do. Because he responded at 6 o'clock. So I think he saw this and he's like, you know what? I'm going to save this as a little treat for after I clock out.
After hours?
Yeah, after hours.
Jerry after hours.
Yeah.
And what did he write?
He said, man, have you seen the cobbler? That shit goes south real quick.
There you go. Why don't you get Jerry on to do movie reviews?
You can review the Sandlerverse.
From the perspective of a t-shirt merchant.
What if it's bull shirting with Jerry?
That's perfect.
That's good.
Bull shirting with Jerry. So 1 year. Hey, Julie, you know what paper I want to get from Brett?
What's that?
The green kind.
Oh, a weed?
No, I want not weed. The kind that lets you go buy weed or whatever you want to buy.
Usually when you make that whistling sound.
Oh, yeah, no, that's... You're right. That's usually
It's kind of unfair if you think of me as like a dog and you just be like, go get it. And I'm like, where's the ball?
Yeah, no, I was not doing that. I want...
If you said sit the way you say go get it, I would not sit.
So how about that, Brett? How about you drop a duffel bag in front of each of our respective homes with a little paper in it? Like, no, but no, if any kind of paint capsule goes off and that money is dirty.
Unmarked bills.
Unmarked bills. No paint capsule in it that ruins all the money.
But if it is a paint capsule, have it be green.
So yes. Thank you. That's perfect. Why don't criminals manufacture green paint caps?
Because like, they're not the ones who put the paint capsules in the coconut.
But why don't they think big and be like, we're going to
start a company?
Start a company, offer amazing deals on those paint bombs that go off inside stolen money. But they're just secretly, it's like ours have green ink in them and it doesn't even damage the money at all. Like everybody. Right. If anything, it adds zeros to it. What if they add paint that increases the value of the money?
Be like the next Batman villain, be like the money guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Money bags. This looks like the work of money bags. Like Adam West trying to. He's Robin, like, it looks like money bags is at it.
Holy currency, Batman, says.
Yeah. Well, here's how it's going to work, Batman. This when this paint bomb goes off, it adds zeros to the money inside, and that will crash the economy.
No. No, money bags, no.
Money bags would be a perfect Batman villain.
So it's been a year and we're a little worse for wear.
Yeah. We got y'all through the pandemic.
Or yeah. What have you done for us? I'm just kidding. No, don't edit that out. we love our listeners. Yeah. They give me reason to, if not live, at least stay online.
Mm-hmm. So I predict some big things for year two of Double Threat.
Karnak.
I see a big guest in my future, in our future. I see a big guest in our future appearing on the show.
What is it, oh wise one?
Who's the biggest guest do you think we could get?
Oh gosh, I don't know. Jackson Galaxy?
We could never get Jackson Galaxy on this show.
Yeah, I know.
What do you think, Brett? Could we ever get Jackson Galaxy?
Oh, yeah, guys, actually, I'm just getting this breaking news update. Just got this email. I had actually reached out to Jackson Galaxy a while back, and it looks like he's available right now.
What?
Yeah. Jackson Galaxy has actually just joined the waiting room on Zoom.
This is huge. This is huge. Oh, my God. This is fucking huge.
Jackson Galaxy, the cat. Expert.
Cat daddy.
I think the cat daddy is here. He's in the Zoom waiting room.
Oh my God. So this is a big deal. Even if you think cats stink and you couldn't care less about him, you must admit that this is a wonderful, wonderful guest.
Yes.
And a wonderful, wonderful show.
Jackson Galaxy is amazing.
He rules. He also kicks butt. He is the host of My Cat from Hell, which is on Animal Planet. Great show. He has a cat camp, which we'll tell people about in a momento.
Mm-hmm.
He has over 25 years of experience working with cats and their guardians, not owners. Their guardians.
I screwed that up on Twitter.
You got paid.
Speaking of The Office, Oscar from The Office.
Who?
Wasn't Oscar from The Office? Took me down on that.
I didn't watch The Office. I'm sorry. I watched the British version. Why did I sound like Trump?
Wait, there's an American version?
There we go. Jackson Galaxy is the best, and he's the coolest. And even though Tom is the cat fixer.
Yes, I will say I consider him be a little bit of a rival. He's at the top of the mountain. I'm down at the base camp in the parking lot for people looking to climb the mountain. I'm at the little booth that you could get information at.
Is this a thing? Is that what you do when you go on a hike? You have to like park and be like, okay, time to start walking.
I don't know. I don't do things.
You don't
like
hike?
That.
You've lived in California for over a year. You're not going on hikes.
No, I don't go on hikes. It's a weird kind of like, there's like such an aggressive quality to these hikers where they want to make you feel, I hiked this thing and I went on a hike with someone and they couldn't keep up. It's like, well, guess what? I'm not ever going to hike with you with that attitude. Mm-hmm. So if I'm just like, then I know you're telling a story about me to the next person. I went on a hike with Tom and then he doubled over and had to hold his stomach because he couldn't take it. It's like, yeah, I couldn't take it. I'm not a hiker. Let's see you coming doing a podcast, being the funniest person going. I'll see you doing that. That's what I do. That's my mountain. Podcast mountain. Me and Julie are climbing the top of it. The tippy top.
I'm the Sherpa. I'm schlepping all your stuff.
Plant our flag at the top. Giant double threat flag.
And speaking of the top of Podcast Mountain, should we bring on Jackson Galaxy for
a terrible segue? That was maybe the worst. That made no sense at all. Speaking of the top of Podcast Mountain, should we bring on our guest to talk about cats? No offense, Brett. That was the worst transition imaginable. I know you're trying to move things along, but you really missed the target on that one. Speaking of Podcast Mountain, should we bring our guest on to talk about cats?
I'm so glad you heard that, because as soon as he said that, you know how you just like sort of go into like a fugue state, like every once in a while, you're just like, oh, yeah. I'm not gonna listen to this next thing because I have a feeling it's not gonna make any sense.
Yeah. I gotta let this one slide, but I could have flagged that one if I had chosen to.
Well, if I had chosen to listen to it, and then you pointed out, and I'm like, oh, wait, that is what I heard. I just didn't listen to it.
Yeah.
We are so excited to have on the show Cat Daddy Jackson Galaxy.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much for coming. And so I see a guitar in the background.
Yes.
And I know that you carry your cat toys in a guitar case. Do you ever mix them up and then you like open the guitar case and you're like, oh shit, it's just more birds.
Yeah, no, totally. No, it happened the other way around, that I showed up for a consult and I pulled out a guitar. And let's just, you know, I'm cool with my own ego. Cats don't like my guitar playing. They just don't. Dogs don't like my guitar playing. They don't like my piano playing. So
did you have to like backpedal? You're like, no, guitars are toys. And you start like like cutting the strings out and making the strings dangle.
No,
and
it's like, just like, you know, cats love music. And then, you know, I hit the one chord. But it's funny though, you know, the thing, people always thought the guitar case was a shtick, and it was not a shtick. It, honest to God, like, and this is before the show, that I started collecting more and more crap every time I'd go to a house, and including those big old wands.
They're long.
So I was in my car. I was like, I can't like walk into someone's house like a bag lady. So I was like, you know what? I got a guitar case in the back. I put all my stuff in there and walked it. And it was funny because the first time I think the network saw that, they couldn't decide if it was cool or if I was certifiable. So luckily they went the other way.
You know, that was a that was an email and a meeting.
No doubt, man. Listen, you know, when they started that show, I mean,
My Cat from Hell.
If you want to talk about throwing spaghetti against the wall, I mean, that was one of those things. There had never been a cat show on TV before. I think advertisers were like, do cat people leave their house? Do they buy stuff? You know, and it was just, it was really,
by the way, no and yes.
Well, now we are in the world of Amazon. Don't forget, this was in 2009.
Yeah, but we cat owners were way ahead of the curve. And if I order things online, I never have to see another person.
You know, isn't it? I don't know if you've seen like the studies that have come out over the past couple of months that prove that cat people are introverts.
Oh, yeah.
Dog people are extroverts.
By the way, how much money did they spend on that they could have donated to, like, literally?
Yeah. I mean, but listen, I'm looking for my dogs. I am proudly bipedal.
I didn't know that.
Oh, hell yeah. As a matter of fact, you know what's really funny is that, and a lot of people didn't know that, and they weren't happy to find out, I think, at first. I think there was this, we had this little moment of blowback where we got married, my wife and I got married at Best Friends Animal Sanctuary in Utah, and God, it was just beautiful. And, you know, it's in the middle of nowhere, and we came in, so our dog was our ring bearer. And and we had a donkey as a flower girl. That was totally cool. And anyway, so at the end of the ceremony, we take a picture. Next thing we know, Best Friends had put it out. It was in like Parade magazine or some such. And people were like, oh my God, is that a dog?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Hashtag cancel Jackson Galaxy. Dog daddy.
There we go.
That is so strange that it would be the kind of thing where people would not be able to wrap their heads around that you might like more than one animal.
You like, know, I really do believe that dogs and cats complement each other in an amazing way. It's why not have all that energy in your house? And I mean, I'm sure my cats feel differently because, you know, I have three crazy dogs, but yeah, whatever.
Three crazy dogs. How many cats and how many of them are crazy?
At the moment, we have seven cats. We also take in fosters. Our foster kitten just left this morning. So that would be eight. And a turtle and chickens. We now have chickens too, but they're not in the house at the moment.
Cats ever look at those chickens and like you see them like licking their lips, licking their chops, like in Looney Tunes.
Totally. Like with a fork and knife, you know, like.
Well, I've seen cartoons and what happens is the dog chases the cat and the cat chases the chicken
or the mouse. Yeah. I mean, it's
a circle of life.
And you are absolutely my kind of person, I think, in cartoons also. Speaking of which, you've got claws, which is, so I'll be careful with you.
Jackson, this is a delight. I'm having the best day of my life talking to you.
I'm happy about that. Good.
So Brett and I are cat cohabitate. We won't say owners. Well,
and there comes the cat.
Here he comes.
Who is that?
That's Jimmy Jazz.
Has he got something in his mouth?
No, he's got a white face. It looks like his face was dunked in milk.
That's so sweet.
He's a perfect little tuxedo guy.
And you named him after a Clash song, which is just damn, you're cool.
A Clash song slash a sneaker store in New York City named Jimmy Jazz.
Really? Okay. That works.
And then Brett has two. You have two?
I have two cats, Francis and Mabel. Yeah, two cats, Aussie cats.
Oh. That they count as one and a half each. So that means you have three cats.
There we go.
What do you mean?
Why don't you tell us what?
I'd like to hear what you mean because I love this. I'm gonna start using this.
Tom, you tell us what you think you mean.
What I think I mean, the whole means thing, by one and a half cats.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're just in my experience anyway. Aussie cats are just, you know, a handful. I mean, there's certain cats that I know if people have them and they're having problems with them, then I know I have to sort of fasten my seatbelt. And I mean, Bengals, Savannahs, Aussie cats, that usually, you know, I'm not a breed guy myself. I don't really spend my time thinking too much about breeds, but yeah, that's my experience. No offense, of course.
Are they smart? Sure. Are they smart?
No, you're very accurate about that.
Are they naughty?
They're more in touch with what I call their raw cat, meaning that they are, I'm not going to say less domestic, but in a way, you know, I mean, in terms of a breed, it's the newer they are, the closer they are to not, you know, Jimmy Jazz.
No, Jimmy Jazz is pretty highly evolved cat. I've met Jimmy Jazz a bunch of times. That cat truly does not have the time of day for me.
And that makes him evolve, which is
no, I get it. I understand it. I'm just like, look, I wouldn't be that into me either. If I was walking through your home right now, I wouldn't be into this either, Jimmy Jazz. I get it. I'm clogging up a chair that you like. That's, yeah.
We have so many questions, but before we go into them, what are the most common questions? Oh, can I guess what some of the most common questions you get are?
Yeah.
Tom, do you want to guess?
I'll guess. You go first.
Okay. How do I get my cat to stop waking me up in the morning?
That's a good one. Yes.
I'm going to say somebody asked you, where's my cat?
Where's my cat?
Yeah. And you're just meaning, I don't know. Are they in,
yeah. Hey, man, if people would pay me for that one, that would be cool as heck. Yeah, no, not that.
Okay. Well, they'll ask about where cats, like, why does my cat hide in blank? What crazy spot a cat seems to hide in?
You know, the funny thing is that when cats hide in places, more often than not, they don't think of it as hiding. They think, oh, no, my cat has a nice little fluffy bed in the closet, or my cat loves to be under the bed, and without realizing that it is more hiding. So I think that's a little more highly evolved.
More about people being stupid.
It's more about, well,
that's my next question. Are people stupid? Don't answer that.
I won't.
It's far too silly. Here are the other questions I bet you get a lot. Why do cats make biscuits?
Yeah, I get that. You want me to answer that?
Yes.
Or do you know?
I think I know.
I want to hear what you have to say.
Okay, two reasons. One is that when they was babies, they're looking for the nipple on their mommies.
They was blind babies. Yes.
And the other reason, I think, is to just like get their scent on you.
I'm going to say it's because it's like an instinctive thing from when they were wild tigers and they flatten out the turf they want to take ownership of.
You also thought that he was tenderizing me at one point so he could eat me.
Oh, I know that. Your cat is slowly treating you like veal, softening you up for the eventual bookshelf is going to get pushed over.
The final feast, as we call it.
Jimmy Jazz is going to push like an iron off of the top of a shelf on your head. And then it's din din.
That's why they thank you, Brett. That's why they practice pushing things off of surfaces, right? To hit you with a safe.
There you go. It's practice. It's practice for the Last Supper.
So the making biscuits thing, what is the answer?
The answer would be the first thing that you said, which was that it's that behavior where they are getting milk out of mom by pushing like that. And it is when they was blind babies. And more often than not, you will see that behavior, propagate more as they get older if they were weaned too early from their mom. So if they weren't around their mom and their sibling, I always know, like, you'll have those kind of behaviors, that suckling on ears or other things. I mean, just like those kind of behaviors, you'll know that they just weren't around their mom long enough.
Join the club. You know what I'm saying? Latchkey kids. What are some other questions I bet you get? Introducing cats to each other. How do I do it?
Yeah. I mean, that's a big one. I mean, listen, if it weren't for like cats peeing and cats fighting, I don't think I'd have a job, you know? I mean,
strongly disagree.
Yeah. No, it's true though. I mean, so many of the issues that I deal with, by and large, I mean, look at my cat from hell. How many did not revolve around blood, guts, pee, or poop? I mean, that's such pretty much, you know.
Such is life. But these kitties, they get mad when another kitty comes into their home.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, we know the cats are pretty fiercely territorial. But that said, I'm a big believer that people should have more than one cat.
I try. Here's the thing.
One day,
Mr. Galaxy, I will tell you what I call the Ballad of Mr. Yams. And I brought a foster cat into this home a couple years ago. And Jimmy made himself like 12 times the size I've ever seen him. And he was like, "Mommy, this is the best toy of all. Thank you. I'm going to hunt and kill Mr. Yams." And yep. I, after a week, had to rehome Mr. Yams because Mr. Yams was very weak. He was very thin. He was a little dumb because I think he was related to a purebred. He was like one of those like Norwegian forest cats that are just like, "This place is amazing." And Jimmy, meanwhile, was sharpening his knives. And I had to rehome him because it was not going to end well. It didn't start well. I knew it was not going to end well.
But that's the thing. I mean, and I think that, I mean, it makes me happy. No, that Mr. Yams doesn't make me happy. But what makes me happy is to know that these are issues that the more I get the word out, the more successful these foster arrangements and adoptions will be, because it really does come down to how you introduce them and being slow and cautious and the entire way along letting Jimmy know that you still own the joint. Place is yours, man. Yeah. You don't, you are not threatened in any way, shape, or form. And think about it. I mean, Yams was like, you know, he wasn't like a threat in any way, you know? So, you know, that's the thing. I mean, I feel like, you know, if people just read the books, watch the shows, watch the videos.
I read the books, Jackson. I watched all the videos. I fed them on the... Listen, this is not about me and Mr. Yams, and I do believe that Mr. Yams is in a better place, but what I was going to say is I fed them on either side of the door. I kept moving the bowls closer. Jimmy was going to kill Mr. Yams.
So here's what you would have done. And I'm not trying to make you second guess, but I do want you to try again.
Okay.
Because the thing that you want to do with Jimmy is if he's that kind of boy and he's just like, "Where's the toy? Where's the toy?" You give him the toy. You wear him out before that meal. Remember the whole hunt, catch, kill, eat. Mm-hmm. You get him hunting, catching, and killing. Then we get to the eat. So he's on that sort of downward energetic place. And then when he gets to the door, it's not like I got to expel. You know what I mean? There you have it.
Maybe I'll get him a more formidable brother.
I mean, how old is Jimmy?
8.
Oh, good looking boy. You're always safe with kittens, or most of the time. So if you ever wanted to foster again, which don't forget, I'm a New Yorker and I will find you a litter of kittens.
I know that's a threat, but I'll accept the challenge. All right.
Let's go, man.
All right, Jackson. I'm gonna get your number after this.
Right on.
Now, Julie, you didn't ask for my advice. You know, I know that Jackson Galaxy is the cat daddy, but people call me the cat fixer. Do I have any credentials? No, I have none. I have no qualifications for this, but I have given myself this title. I want a piece of this cat business. Apparently, cat owners throw a lot of do-re-mi around, and I want some of it. So I'm hanging my shingle out now. I am the cat fixer.
You are absolutely tripping if you think that this is a lucrative business.
Oh,
sir.
Well, this is, I want a piece of that giant.
You want to be a hundredaire, huh?
Sounds like Jackson's getting territorial. It sounds like,
you're getting like Jimmy Jazz. Sounds like I feel like Mr. Yams.
Right now, man.
I know how Mr. Yams felt. This is how Mr. Yams felt.
I think what the funniest thing is, and I don't know if you've ever seen, like, you know, those stupid ass websites that where it's like what celebrities make and what they're worth. And, you know, it's yes. like, and the first time I saw me, it was just, I almost peed myself. It was so funny. It was like, you really think that the guy who works with cats on a reality show is rich? I just thought that was funny.
Well,
I
mean, Tom is going to be rich. Tom has got his eye on the prize, right?
I am sure Tom is going to get rich a lot faster than me, regardless of what he does.
Well, here's my advice for that. Here's my advice. This is what the cat fixer says. The story, Jimmy Jazz, you look Jimmy Jazz in the face and you tell him, look, you be friends with this cat or I'll throw you in the woods. And then you walk away.
In the woods of Manhattan.
You tell you, look, I got an Uber. He said, I'll get an Uber. That's what Jimmy just said that back. He said, you never heard of Uber? I'll go get an Uber X. 5 minutes, we'll be in a car heading toward the woods. Then we'll see how you and Mr. Yams shape up or ship out. And then I would turn and then I'd put some Meow Mix in his bowl and say, here, eat some Meow Mix. Leave me alone.
I remember that, you know, when I first started, there weren't very many people who did my job back mm-hmm. in the day. I mean, so when I first started, because I started in like the early 90s or mid 90s, and one person who did this, and she was a very nice person, but her sort of advice to someone who was trying to introduce two cats was put them in a car together and drive around. Because by the time you're done, they'll be so verklempt because they were driving. That they'll be buddies, you know. I thought that was
so. Basically, send them to Vietnam, and maybe they'll get along.
Exactly right. You come back from the foxhole with a bond. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of Double Threat listeners who are cat guardians, cat parents, and they sent in some questions. So maybe we can go through some of these listener questions. Cat daddy versus cat fixer. Jackson and Tom can give their advice.
Oh, please.
Bring it, baby. Bring it.
All right. Yeah, I'm ready. Maybe I will throw my hat in the ring. I got a puncher's chance. If I took out the cat daddy with my cat advice that I know nothing about.
This is big for you, Tom. This
and
is
then good. I'll answer is Jimmy. I'll say what Jimmy would say.
There we go. Right, let's see. All right. So the first, and these are all questions. We got tons of questions. This is one of our biggest responses ever to a prompt. All of these questions are one that we got multiple times. So these are, I know, popular questions that a lot of cat guardians are going through. The first one here is bathroom privacy. Bathroom privacy. Why won't my cat leave me alone when I'm in the bathroom? If I close the door, she scratches at the door and meows. If I let her in, she rubs up against my leg and won't leave me alone while I'm doing my business. And this came in from Santi, Nicholas, and Mary. What do you do with a cat who won't leave you alone in the bathroom?
Don't know. Next.
Well, here's a look. Might be my chance to slide in here.
No, I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, put him in an Uber and take him to the woods.
No, not on this one. You got to go to the bathroom. You got to go do your business. You wear a scream mask when you go in and the cat throws the door open. You're wearing a scream mask on the toilet.
Oh, I thought you said screen mask like a beekeeper.
No, like the scream.
That ain't gonna work.
Like the villain in Scream.
That's horrible, man.
You wear
horrible.
A scream mask on the toilet. And the cat sees that. It's like, yikes.
So I am now figuring out who you are.
This is my this is Jimmy's answer. What you doing in there? You stupid mommy. You plotting against me? You gonna bring Mr. Yams back? You dumb bitch. I watch you every moment.
Look at him behind you at the moment.
Well, he's loafing, Jackson. You know that what does that position mean to you when they have all their paws tucked?
Well, let me tell you that right now. So with the way he is right now, see how he's all the way in.
Fully loafed.
And the fully loafed position is a position of absolute comfort, meaning that if he were quasi-loafed, mm-hmm. like this, that means at any moment he's ready to go. You know, he's ready to launch, meaning away. So this way, it would take him a longer time to get up. So yeah, full loaf is fully comfortable.
Okay.
And do you feel...
Yeah, sorry, that, go ahead, Tom.
Do you feel that Jimmy Jazz truly thinks you're dumb?
Absolutely. No question. No question. No question.
Okay. I can't weigh in there.
But do they think that we're big cats?
Do they think that we're big cats?
They know they're, they know that, because I heard that was, they say, they just think we're big clumsy cats. I said, no, they don't.
They, yeah, right. They, now listen, am I like, you know, the great Kreskin or whatever the hell that name, I don't know what the hell they're thinking in terms of what you are, but okay. Not a big dumb cat. Okay. So anyway, the thing with the bathroom is, my take on that is the same take as the cat who, when you're sitting at work and you're working at the computer and they got to come in between you and they got to sit on the keyboard and the mouse, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just that you're still, you're planted, so to speak. And it's just a chance to do what it is that they do in order to claim their property and to say that they love you, which is the same thing, really. And that is to do the rub against you. And to, how many pictures have you seen? I've seen so many pictures from the standpoint or the sit point of somebody on the toilet and they're aiming down and their cat's sitting in their underwear, you know, like that.
People need to stop bringing their phones into their bathrooms. That's what that says to me.
Really?
Yeah.
How could that happen? Is that possible? I can't do that.
Or people need to stop sending you those photos. How's that?
That's, let's just
Jackson,
say that.
Jackson, yeah. Don't need to see your underpants.
Off limits.
Yeah, that might be. It's like where you don't exactly remember the day where you were asking people for literally any photo that involves a cat. You were not asking.
And we do that. You know what's crazy is we, and I love it, we ask people for pictures and videos of their cats and them with their cats. And then we put them in. If you look at any of the YouTube videos, they're all in the videos. I love it a lot. But yeah, we get some crazy stuff sometimes. Mm-hmm. A lot of times. Yeah.
All right. I got another question for you here. Cats chewing on cables was a very common question. We got this from Nancy, Blair, and Bruce. My cat is constantly eating our charging cords. iPhone chargers are her favorite, but she's also eaten Android chargers and laptop chargers. How can I discourage my cat from chewing on cables?
I'm glad they differentiated between.
Yeah, exactly. Like one is tastier than the other. Apple is much tastier than Android.
As though your advice would be like, well, just get an Android.
Exactly right. Yeah. And that's it. There you have it. No, it's very simple, actually. There's a few really easy fixes to that. Back in the day, you would have to go to Radio Shack and get like PVC tubing and run all your stuff through PVC tubing. Now they just have cord protectors. Just go on Amazon, cord protector. They can't bite through it. You just run your cords through this thing. They're flexible. And it just goes from the computer to the charger and they won't do it. Mm-hmm. If they're persistent with that, things like bitter apple, you know, it's just a spray that you spray the cord protector with. They bite it. And they probably will not bite it again because it just tastes nasty. Finally, if they're that persistent, you can do double-sided tape. But I'll say this. If your cat is that persistent and you get a cord protector and you get the bitter apple and you get all that stuff and your cat's just still like, I got to have that. That's a hint. That means give them something better. Give them something to, like, for instance, I'm looking for something in this room. Well, for instance, like this. This isn't exactly a kicker. It's my stuffed shark from Shark Week. But something that they can wrap their paws around, kick, bite, you know what I mean? Give them, whenever you say no, make sure that there's a yes behind it. And that way you will have cords.
Mm-hmm. Cat fixer.
Yeah. I'd get down and I'd chomp.
With a screen mess.
Jackson, all my things are not just going to throw you in the woods.
I'm not 90, sure about that.
95% of them are.
He's got more tools in his guitar case than you think.
I get down on the floor. I go, oh, you like the cable, huh? And then I start chomping it harder. The cat, I'm like, yeah, this is how you chomp a cable.
You really should hang that shingle.
Then I just like show the cat. Don't forget, I'm as big as six cats. I'm six of you. And I say that while I'm chomping the cable.
And this is Jimmy's answer. Stupid mom. Don't you know these taste so good? That's it.
Reliance on treats. A lot of people were have cats that are treat obsessed. This specific question is from Megan. My cat is obsessed with greenies. She spends hours standing below where they're kept, making Puss in Boots eyes, even if she's just had some. I'm afraid that her obsession causes anxiety. What's the right amount of treats to give a cat, and how can I curb her obsession with treats?
Well, here's my thing with food in general and treats also is try to avoid the crap. And greenies are crap. No offense, greenies. I'll take your money. No, I'm kidding. I won't. But you want to feed them meat. You want cats to eat meat. And if she was begging for something like, and I'm big with like freeze-dried meat treats, which come in a lot of different shapes and sizes and flavors. And you can break them down into little bitty pieces, which you can't do with greenies. And that way you can give little pieces at a time and know that you're not going to make them fat and that you're actually feeding their system on a very, very central biological way. But that said, you got to look at what your part in this is. And your part is that you can't stand the Puss in Boots look and you give her more treats. So she's training you. She's like playing you like a fiddle. Like she basically knows all I got to do. And I think that's how Puss in Boots did it too, by the way. Puss in Boots did those eyes to get something. And that's exactly what she's doing. So
you say fiddling just, like the cat and the fiddle.
There comes a point where you really got to ignore them. I mean, you really just got to like pretend it's not happening, walk away. Give them food when you want to give them food. Give them treats when you want something. Don't forget that like we don't have much control over cats. And we don't.
True words.
I just told this story in a video that I think went out this week or it's coming out next week. And the story goes that I was demonstrating for the production company and of course for the network how I work. And you know, it was advertised that I had this like bag of tricks. And so I'm working with a cat, and out comes the guitar case, out comes, I think it was baby food, and on a spoon, and the cat's following me around. And they pause the video and they're like, hold on a second, that's not a bag of tricks, that's bribery. And I was like, yes, indeed, that's exactly what it is. And my surprise is out, but that they're not dogs. They're not motivated by pleasing us in any way. And so we use food to get something, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that. So
now, what are some of the things you feel that people project onto cats that they are completely wrong about in terms of where the anthropomorphizing of animals and all of that, where you project human metrics and emotions onto an animal that they're just 100% misreading?
The answer is yes.
Just all of it, like just
everything.
Like,
I mean, we and I think my theory on this is, I know this is like, but my theory is that because so much of cats' lives and thinking are so mysterious to us, that instead of accepting that sort of blank slate becomes just something to throw our hopes and insecurities on. And we make a lot of stuff up, man. There are times like on My Cat from Hell, there was one that I'm remembering right now where this woman was thoroughly convinced, straight-faced convinced, that, and she was a girlfriend who had moved in with the boyfriend. It was the boyfriend's cats, and the cat was puking in the bed. But she was convinced, because it was usually in her side of the bed, that it was revenge puke, that it was just like, I will get back at you by throwing up on your side of the bed. And I was like, your cat's not feeling well. That's why they're puking. And there was that moment of like raising the curtain. And I think that it's so common. It's just so common. And that's why, unfortunately, when cats start peeing around the house, that cats are rehomed, like that were given up, you know, to the shelter, taken to the woods, because we take it as an affront, you know?
We just want to put it out there that Tom has never taken a cat to the woods. He's just told them that he's going to, but he's not actually going to go through with it.
I'm like Alf in that regard. Alf never ate no cats.
No.
And I never threw a cat in the woods. No. It's a good threat for a cat. Just like Alf was just.
He was full of shit.
If Alf wanted to eat a cat, that show was on for so long.
Plenty of opportunities. He was just talking. He was talking a big game.
Yeah. He never ate no cats.
Jackson, what about all the different sounds, like the chirpings and the chatterings? I remember seeing something where you said, the noise that cats make at birds is not imitating birds. That's dumb, even though it kind of sounds like they are. Is that just their word for bird, where they're like,
That is like, it's funny because I remember, and I'm not saying it's stupid because there was a time where I was like, well, that actually makes sense. But then if you think about the fact that cats are one of the most successful hunters on this planet, that would be pretty stupid to not only sit on one side of a window with a bird on the other side of a window and make a noise, but the fact that you're making a noise, like you're actually thinking the bird will mistake you for a bird, is funny. You know, anyway, the reason I think they do it, and there's no proof anywhere, you know, that I've ever found, but it's just this incredibly heightened sense of excitement that this is like what I live for. I live to kill that thing, and oh my God, I'm going to burst. You know, that's what I always think of it.
But they never say that when they're excited about other things. Like, it seems like that word is bird. Bird is the word.
Bird. No, I'm not. That's that they're singing that song with their fork and knife. And
surfing bird.
Yeah, no, I think that, I'm sticking by my guns, man. But I've heard very few, but I've heard cats make that sound to, you know, rabbits and other small woodland creatures.
Oh, it means like Jigsaw, let's play a game. It means.
It means like dinner bell.
I've got another question for you here, and this is a question from me, a question about my cat. My cat, Francis, is very emotive, very expressive, is able to do a lot with her face to kind of express different emotions. And so I put, I did a side-by-side video here of my cat, Francis, and then Timothée Chalamet from the closing scene of Call Me By Your Name. And my question is my cat a better actor than Timothée Chalamet? Is my cat a better actor than Timothée Chalamet? Let's look at the tape. Sorry,
it's
one
a video?
Second. Yeah, it's a video.
Brett, well, thank God. Thank God there's a video.
No, but by the way, we did not ask Brett to do this.
I'm going off script a little bit here.
Brett's going.
Tom, did you know this is how Brett is spending his time?
No, Brett's going rogue on this. He's doing weird Timothée Chalamet cat videos now.
It's a really important question.
He was like, we've got so many questions from listeners. We got so many. Yeah. I have a question and I made a video.
Yeah. Exactly.
I got to see the video now.
Thank you, Jackson.
It's gone too far. Let me see.
And here we go.
This might be the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
We're watching this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hypnotized.
Look at that stare. Look at that.
Tom, we got to have a talk offline with you.
No, there's a larger discussion.
No, I'm really enjoying. I for one, am enjoying myself, so.
Okay, now I'm
not.
Or is it
not? All right, Brett, we. He played the whole video. Like he stopped it with 1 second to go, as if like I stopped it early. He stopped it. It was a 45-second video.
I know when to leave a party. I know when to leave a party.
No,
I vote for your cat, but it looked like a scene.
There we go.
No, but it was a scene. It wasn't like Timothée Chalamet versus your. What's your cat's name, by the way?
Francis.
So Francis. And Francis or Timothée Chalamet, it was and. They were
I like that.
They were vibing. So you should get him an agent.
But But was Brett's cat manipulating him? Does he make faces to like, because he, well, I guess you were saying the Puss in Boots thing, like he knows that that's going to garner some sort of reward.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the reward is cry. I want you to cry.
What about, oh, Jackson, what about the tummy show? My cat does the tummy show every morning. He gets on his back and he rolls and he flips and flops and he shows me his tummy. But then when you try to touch his tummy, he's like, what are you, stupid?
Yes. What are you? But I would say, yes, the tummy show by and large. And I know that there are people listening and watching to this, whatever.
We're not even
sure what it is, honestly, at this point. We've got Timothy Chalamet videos.
Cats Go with ahead. Forks and knives.
Yeah.
Now I forgot the question. Oh, the tummy show. So I call it the cat hug. And the cat hug, the reason I call it a hug is because it's a cat's way of showing you that I'm completely vulnerable to you in this moment. Think about this. Like when we really hug, not the side hug or whatever, we really hug. It's a vulnerable thing. It really is. And with cats, the idea of a prey animal going like this, showing you that midline, if you were a fox, you could just like eviscerate just like that, you know? And that's a trusting thing. That said, I trust you not to play with my belly. And so I think that that's the lesson we have to learn, that cats aren't dogs.
So it's that a said, hug. Yeah.
That said, about an hour ago, I just motorboated my cat's belly, and because he gave me the belly show, but I know him and I know that I could do the raspberry on his belly because he's cool. He likes it. So you got to know your cat.
Tom, are you going to say something?
Oh, no, I would just say that when your cat does that, your cat's showing you up that look how ripped I am.
Yeah, and, exactly.
Your cat's
that's
just
that pull like, up the shirt moment where yeah, like, don't you wish exactly. you had this?
And then you just your only response to that is go like, I'm more than just sure. Maybe I'm not in the greatest shape these days, but I bring a lot to the table. That's what I would say to the cat.
Yeah.
And say, yeah, look, I know it's a good gym. It's hard to go to the gym with Corona. You want me to get coronavirus?
I read something that said that all the cats, all the things that they play, everything they play and how they play, what they play with is all based on hunting behavior. Is that true?
100%.
100%. So everything that we do is them just practicing like hunting and killing.
Play is prey.
Play is prey. Eat, pray, play. Right, Tom?
That sounds like a shirt. Right. Eat, play, eat, pray,
play.
Play.
Well, I actually have I have a technique called eat, play, love.
Tell us.
So there you go.
About it.
No. Okay. No, I'm kidding. No, eat, play, love is just, it's the final step in the introduction process where you have the door open. But what you're trying to do, as I was saying before, you're trying to guide activity so that the idea is we're both in a room and I'm so busy with this thing over here that I can look over to you, but this is much more enticing. And that comes down to food and toys and also affection, love, praise, that kind of thing, which I think we tend to think that cats don't respond to that. And whenever people show me, because if I hear this again, I swear to you that my cat doesn't play. My cat doesn't play. No matter what I do, my cat doesn't play. And then you cut to a video of somebody with a stick toy going like this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like the cat's like, you think I'm stupid? Like you have to turn it into a hunting game, but also using your voice, you know, praising.
They
vibe off it. Yeah, be an idiot, man.
Don't
run
phone
around
it
the
in.
House.
Don't phone no, it don't. In.
Literally, right.
So no. Tell us about Cat Camp, Jackson Galaxy.
I would be glad to talk about Cat Camp. Cat Camp, by the way, our latest installment of Cat Camp Virtual is coming April 10th. But Cat Camp was a New York-based I'm not going to say show or convention. If that gives you a sort of a sense of what it is, it was a great cat community get together. with vendors and speakers and fun activities and adoptable
people who
animals.
Actually left the house, introverts who actually people left the house.
Who, or people who did, you know, they're like, well, I don't like cats, but all right, let's go. And it did really well in New York every year. I mean, it started in 17 by Christina Ha, who's the founder of Meow Parlor.
I've been there many times. They have good matcha lattes too.
It's pretty, yes. And it's pretty near you.
I have a friend who has all three of her cats are adopted from Meow Parlor. And it's a really, really great, they have a great Instagram. And
wait till I tell Christina, she'll be really psyched. Well, they started, Christina, her husband, Simon, started Cat Camp, I think in 17, maybe. And then I went to that one, was completely smitten, jumped on board. And now we all do it. And the last one that we did over the holidays pulled in over 100,000 people. So we, you know, if this is a community, it's global now. And so the new one's coming, spring forward. And it's going to focus on leveling up the idea of like whether you're cat curious and you just want to figure out what these guys are, whether you want to figure out like we've been doing here, how to make life better with your cat, whether you're getting into fostering or TNR or you want to volunteer or you want to just somehow help cats. We're going to have a full day of programming and even some stuff on Sunday that we haven't announced yet. And just by the way, it's free. I just want people to know that it's free. Petco Foundation has been very generous, and they're making it absolutely free for anyone to attend. So there you go.
That's awesome. I, though, have been doing cat events all through the quarantine. We've been hosting them in abandoned pizzerias and... and all sorts of things, and they're not free at all. They're actually very expensive, and they're not going well. You got to buy a slice. It's been a bit of a challenge. Not many people coming out with cats to them. Some people bring too many cats, and then it gets out of hand, and I just kind of duck out the side door. I'm like, oh boy, bit of more than I could chew with this one.
You just did a cartoon voice. As soon as you said pizzeria, I thought you were gonna tie in like a cat event with a QAnon event. I thought it was like supposed to be like that pizzeria, like,
oh no, well, we have it's down in the basement of the pizzeria. Yeah. We meet in the basement.
Pizzagate, Comet Pizza.
Yeah. And yeah, and then we end the day, put a little Meow Mix on a pizza, and we all, it's cats and humans together sharing a meal. Yeah.
Jackson, give me like just the bare bones steps of getting Jimmy a brother. Adopt a kitten, male or female, does it matter?
No. I'm not saying you have to get a kitten. I'm saying that to a certain degree, it's easier. And I would always say adopt two kittens, not one.
So I have three.
Yeah.
I only have one litter box though, because I live in an apartment, like a small apartment.
So have two litter boxes, man.
Where am I going to put the other litter box?
I don't know. That's your call. I'm just saying that it does. Two kittens are better than one. It just when I'm the idea, you would think that right. It's more work, that it's, but it's not. They grow up sort of depending on one another. They're more well adjusted, and they'll stay a little bit out of Jimmy's hair. Because they're seeking fun and excitement from each other, you know? And at this point, because so many shelters and rescues have gone into a more virtual space, the foster parents know a hell of a lot more about the cats for adoption than they would have if they were sitting in a cage in a shelter. So there's that. You start out with a base camp. That's the most important thing. Is that a newcomer is in what we call base camp. So it's a room. I would love if it was bigger than a bathroom.
Oh, me too.
Oh, there you go.
I wish I had a bigger apartment. I'd have cats in every room. I swear I would.
You know that your apartment is probably bigger than my house.
I doubt that.
I live
that.
In a very
You've
small
got
house.
Chickens.
They're outside. We have a chicken run in the backyard. We have a yard, but if it weren't for the fact that we have, our house is just 1400 square feet, but we have a catio that sort of circles.
Oh, I love a catio. Yeah.
It's about, it circles half that. It's the house is 1,400 square feet. The catio is 800. So that gives us some room.
How can people find out information on Cat Camp, Jackson?
They would go to catcamp.com. They can go on any of our social medias. Go to Cat Camp USA on Instagram. And always just check in with me on jacksongalaxy.com. Any of, you know, Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. I will put that out. But at catcamp.com, it'll let you register. Even if it's free, if you register, you're registering for gifts, including a live Zoom consult with me. You're also registering to just know when we're having special sessions, which we're going to continue to have that we're not announcing to the public. So yeah, go register and come on down.
I'll put all those links in the show notes, listeners. So you can just check that out and click on those links to find out more.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And you, I do want to say that if you decide to use my throw you in the woods technique, just give me credit. That's all I ask for. I give you full 100% permission. I just want attribution. Not, I don't want financial compensation.
Have your people call my people.
Yes, you do.
I was going to say, who doesn't?
He's full of shit. He, don't listen to him.
That's how I trick you. And then I see in court.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, wait, he said he had just had to give him credit.
Yep.
And if Brett sends you a video, don't open it. Yeah. Please.
Yeah,
I wasn't going to.
I've already reached out to WME, CAA. I'm going to try to get Francis some representation, and I'm going to say Jackson Galaxy said this is the best cat actor in the city.
Not great currency, but go ahead.
Yeah. Brett's going to spend the weekend editing together a video comparing his cat to Marlon Brando in On the Waterfront next,
which is actually Timothy. I could have been a contender instead of a bum, which is what I am.
My cat wishes he was on the waterfront. That's where all the fishes are.
I could have been a cat tender. Right, Brett?
Oh,
I could have been a cat tender.
God, I love it.
Thank you, Brett.
Jackson, we've wasted enough of your time. Thank you so much for joining us. We love you. We love what
you
do.
So
I'm going
much.
To get
Thank
your you. Personal email. I'm going to send you a billion questions of my own.
Gotta go.
Thank you so
Bye.
Much.
Okay.
There he goes.
Take care, you guys.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank
that
you.
Was so much fun. Do we have any cat questions left? I don't think we got to all the cat questions. I think the cat fixer might have to close out this batch.
Yeah, sadly the cat daddy had to run, but we've got more questions. So yeah, if we just want to get the cat fixer take on these questions, that would be
rapid
great.
Rapid fire.
All right, here we go. The only human food my cat likes is Chick-fil-A nuggets. Is that bad?
No, don't be such a cheapskate. Get your cat Chick-fil-A.
What is the best facial hair to have to connect with my cat?
A Salvador Dali mustache.
With like those little fake mice at the end of either side.
Yes. You put a fake mouse or a real mouse, depending on your access to mice, on your mustache.
Sometimes my cat will act like he sees something and will turn his head to follow it around, but there's nothing there. What's he doing?
So what are you doing? What are you doing? You're so productive with everything you do. You never zone out every once in a while? All the dumb garbage you watch on Netflix? How dare you? You put your cat under the microscope? Leave your cat alone. Your cat's staring out the window for once. Trying to meditate. Maybe you could stand to learn how to meditate, you neurotic oddball. Maybe stop worrying about what your cat's thinking at every moment of the day. Okay, next. Cat fixer's ready.
All right, a final question here for the cat fixer. My cat Dila keeps trying to pull my vinyl copy of Kid A off my record shelf. I've tried a few scents that supposedly deter cats, but she seems to be learning to like those smells. How do I keep her paws off my Kid A album?
It's very simple. You start playing King of Limbs for your cat. It's a trickier album, but it has its rewards. It eluded me for years. Then finally, it made sense to me, and now it's one of my favorite Radiohead records. Try getting your cat to get into that. Good morning, Mr. Magpie. Good song might make the difference with your cat. That's a good emphasis track to bridge the gap between In Rainbows and Moonshaped Pool.
I think the cat's listening to it because the cat thinks it's called Kitte.
That's a great point. And cats do often misunderstand album titles, movie titles, and they think that they're cat related things, and then they get surprised. Like if a cat is watching something and it's like Apocalypse Now, a lot of cats think that's Apocalypse Meow, and then they get disappointed when there's no cats in it.
They get disappointed when there's no cats in it.
Yeah.
But then they'll be like, The Godfather, I don't want to see that. Guess what? There's a fucking cat in it right away.
There's a cat in it, yeah. And the cat's got a prime real estate.
The Brando lap.
On Marlon Brando's lap.
Do you feel like, that's like cat's version of heaven. Like, I heard, mama, that when you go to heaven, it's Marlon Brando's lap.
Yeah, I think a cat would, that'd be warm. A pretty sweet lap to sit on.
It's warm. And it's wide, and it smell like McDonald's in a car.
It smell like McDonald's, and cats love McDonald's, by the way, too. If your cat, if your cat's having issues with food, try a 40 piece McNugget and just drop it on the floor, and see what's what. The cat fixer has spoken. And all of this, none of this advice applies. Do not, the cat fixer would like, it should be like, Forever Dog would like to say that none of this advice is actual advice and should not be actually applied to any cat or animal ever.
The cat fixer advice is for entertainment purposes.
That's like, yeah, the cat fixer is not an expert in any way, shape, or form involving any animal. Practicing any of the advice is actually dangerous and should be ignored at all costs.
Or I wouldn't even say, like, it's none of our business. It's just like, we don't advocate. We don't stand by it.
Yeah.
Did you have fun, Tom?
Did I have fun? I had so much fun. And I realize one thing I took away from today.
Sorry. Jimmy's like meowing now. And all of a sudden, look who's out and about.
Oh, yeah.
You embarrass me in front of the cat daddy.
No, you're getting Michigan J. frogged right now.
Yes, I swear,
you should have just seen it. He was out here. He was meowing and everything. You should have seen it.
Uh huh. What do you think of that advice for Jackson's? Like, you should get two kittens.
Oh, I think you should get four. My advice is you get four. My advice is get four cats, and just then leave.
Like
go on
Beatles?
Vacation.
And I go to Jimmy, meet the Beatles. And then I leave.
Yeah. And then Jimmy Jazz, just like Ringo Starr is the oldest member of the Beatles, Jimmy will be the Ringo of this. He'll be just like, I do not want more cats. As of October, if there are any more cats, I will throw them in the garbage. They will get tossed. Mommy, you must understand with peace and love.
I do not peace have time love, for all of these cats. Stop do, sending yeah. me these cats.
I have
Mommy,
things to do.
I have things to do.
Yeah, I have things to do. Peace and love. If you totally bring more cats into the apartment, they will get tossed.
And it's just a video just for me. Like, I turned my phone on one day and it's like a POV photo of himself in the middle of the night. Be like, peace and love, peace and love.
Yeah.
This is a message for mommy.
This is a message for mommy. Peace and love. Well, that was a fun show. Thank you to Jackson Galaxy for coming on. That was very exciting. You check out his cat camp. Brett will put the links up to all that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever have questions for Cat Fixer, just try to shoot them my way.
Well, Cat Fixer, I have a question, Cat Fixer.
Yeah.
Should I get Jimmy? Oh, I think you already answered that.
What's that?
Should I get more cats?
Four more cats. You get four more cats. All right. Four more cats. Four more cats.
You'd be like, stop the meal.
Yeah, stop the meal. Stop the meow.
This is pretty dumb. This is. Yeah. I feel like we're dumber.
No, we're getting dumber. The show's getting dumber. We are getting dumber. It's all getting dumber.
Oh, there could Brett's cat showing up all of a sudden up late.
Big time.
You know, this is really shitty of them.
I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just well, like thanks, a cat.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we got to thanks, everybody, for 1 year sticking with us. We are just at the beginning of this, though. It's getting better and better and more fun. And we got more and more surprises up our sleeves for you. And so you're doing the right thing and go the other thing. You go tell your friends about it. Go tell your friends about Double Threat, how much fun it is. And it makes you have a good time during the pandemic.
And rate us and review us. And please subscribe on iTunes. And what else, Brett?
If you did a review last week, you get the week off. And if you didn't do one, get onto Apple, iTunes, or your podcast app and leave us a review. So thanks, everybody, for doing that last week. And the rest of you, it's your week to get on there. Leave us a positive review. It does really help the show. Just, you know, do it while you're listening to the show. Just literally type out the first thing that comes to mind. Put 5 stars. And then on with your day.
Yeah. And we will be back with a new episode next week.
Cats!
Forever! Dog!
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.